Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
What a joyful sound to hear our children lead us in worship this morning. As we prepare to hear from God's Word, I invite you to pray with me. Holy and living God, we give thanks for your word, for how your spirit moves in and through it and in and through us. God, we pray that your word is imprinted on our hearts in a profound way so that we might be your people in the world. God, we pray that our hearts and our minds, our ears are open to hear the message that you have crafted for each of us this morning. God, I pray that these words would be your words, that this message would be a demonstration of your Spirit's power and nothing of my own. In the name of Christ, amen. So earlier this month, a well-known cyclist, Peter Sagan, was disqualified from the Tour de France. The video of his elbow was rampant in the media. I saw it on the news one morning. And so as I've looked at the debate that now has arisen among those who cycle who love the sport, it would seem that there are two sides. There's one side that claims that he clearly, intentionally threw his elbow into another cyclist, causing a crash, causing injury to that athlete. And so his disqualification should be upheld. Then there's another side to the debate, another group of people who say, well, you know, he was just making space, guarding space for himself the way cyclists do, and that the other guy shouldn't have tried to squeeze into the space in the first place. And so he is at fault for his own accident. Now, I don't know enough about cycling to have an opinion one way or the other. But what I did see as I watched this debate unfold is that it's not really about his elbow. What it's really about is the intention behind the elbow. The struggle is, did he mean to throw it out and make contact? Or was he simply guarding himself, creating his own space? Our scripture for this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this two verses of scripture, they are jam-packed with instruction for us on what it means to live out our faith in our daily lives. And there is an intense focus here on intentions, on what our intention should be as Christ followers, and about how we are to be intentional in our living. So I invite you to read with me from Romans. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone and you want to get those out, we're going to be in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you don't, the words will be on the screen behind me. So we hear from Paul, who's writing to the church at Rome. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, what shall be our intentions as a people who follow Christ? Well, right here we have Paul answering that question in verses 1 and 2. And he tells us a few things, but it all really hangs on this final phrase in verse 2. All of this so that you may discern the will of God. Our intentions as God's people in the world shall be that we seek to discern the will of God. They should be aligned with God's intention for us and for our world. Now, it's important to recognize that Paul is writing to a community of believers. So he's writing to all of the people who meet in the house churches in Rome. So this is a communal access that Paul's talking about. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't individually hear from God. We certainly can be prayerful, listening for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives, and we can receive that from God. But for the purposes of this scripture and for our purposes together this morning, we're talking about having communal access to the will of God, to what it is that God would have us to do and be as God's people in the world together. This is about the church being privy to what God wants us to do and be in our community. And so Paul goes on to remind us that God's will is good, acceptable, perfect. It's good to align our intentions with God's intentions, for God's intentions are perfect. So then how do we know them? How do we discern God's will? How do we get ourselves aligned with it? Well, he told us all of these things so that you may discern God's will. And Paul starts with, present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Now, we're going to have a little bump in the road here with the Greek to English. Because if you're like me, when you read that, you read the word bodies, you hear the word bodies, you think of your physical self. Pretty much apart from your emotions, your thoughts, your attitude, your mind, that's kind of the way we are conditioned to think about ourselves in our culture today. But this word, and what the people reading this letter would have understood, really means whole self. It means all of that together. So maybe it's easier for us if we think of it as saying, present your entire selves to God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. And this presentation is not just for Sunday mornings. I know that Paul says this is your spiritual worship. And what we call, what we do here when we gather together for 60 minutes on Sunday, we call it worship. But I think Paul is talking about us presenting ourselves together as the church body daily, throughout the week, not just on Sunday morning. And so as I considered, well, what does that look like? How do we present ourselves as holy and living sacrifices to our God day to day as a community of faith here at Stonebridge? And I was reminded of our membership vows. The very things that I ask people when they come forward to join our church, the very things that you, many of you who are members here, have promised, seem like a good place to start. So we, when we join with the church, promise our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. We present our entire selves day to day to our God. We promise to pray, to be in prayer, to seek God in prayer, and not just for our own individual selves and those that we hold near and dear, but also for our church community and what it is we hear God calling us to do together. We offer our prayers. We promise to offer our presence here in Sunday morning worship gathered together as a church body, but also at all of the extension activities that go on as an extension of our church that help to usher in the gospel in our world. We offer our prayers and our presence. We offer our gifts. Sacrificial giving is the promise. The 10% tithe, or an intentional plan to get there, but intentional for sure. And we offer those gifts not just as a way to help support the church financially, but even more so as a way to grow deeper in our connection with our God, deeper in our discipleship. We offer our prayers and our presence and our gifts. We offer our service. We promise to offer our labor, our time, our energy in the ministries of the church so that we can be a part of ushering in the kingdom here in McKinney and around the globe. So we present ourselves to our God with our prayers and our presence and our gifts and our service, and finally, with our witness. With our witness means that when we do all of those things, we share with others the story of how God has and is transforming us and the lives of those in our church family. And we do that knowing that the Holy Spirit will use our stories to shape someone else's story so that he or she too might experience the transformation that comes from knowing the love of Christ. So if we're talking about how we present ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice so that we may discern the will of God for us, a church community together, I think prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness are a great place for us to start. So Paul says this is our spiritual worship. Again, a little bit of a bump in the translation. The word here really means intentional. Well thought out is actually how the dictionary, in the Greek dictionary, describes it. Well thought out worship. This is your intentional, your carefully thought out worship day to day to present yourselves, for us to present ourselves to our God. So discerning the will of God comes as we are intentional. Transformation comes as we are intentional. We can't be stagnant and just wait to hear the voice of God from on high. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "And it, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you." Our faith requires us to be intentional and then to see how God will do magnificent things in and through us. But first, we must seek God's will. We must present ourselves to our God. As God sees us seeking, as we offer ourselves in these ways, God transforms us. Paul says in the scripture that we are transformed by a renewing of our minds. This is a spiritual renewal, a taking on of the mind of Christ. This is God's sanctifying grace working within each of us as we seek to be closer to God, and God transforms us. We take on the mind of Christ and we start to see the world through the lens of our God and through God's will rather than through our own lens and our own will. So, if we are to present ourselves to God, and we do, many of us, in many ways, many days, then why does it seem so hard sometimes? Why does it feel like we're just not on the right path? Why is it that sometimes we wonder if our church is really going where God is calling us to go? I think Paul gives us the summary of that right smack in the middle of these two verses, where he says, "Do not be conformed to the world," or you can translate it, "Stop conforming to the world." Don't set yourselves against the standards of the world, but set yourselves against the standards of our Christ. You know, the world's standards say, "Don't rock the boat," but our Christ calls us out onto the water. The standards of the world say, "Keep your faith on Sunday morning, but don't share it in challenging or uncomfortable places." The standards of the world say, "Compartmentalize those prayers, presence, gifts, and service. Put those in your church box and don't let them out." Yet our Christ said, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." The world's standards say everything is about me. It should serve me. It should advance me. It should feed me. even my church. And yet Jesus said, the Son of Man comes not to be served, but to serve. So why does it seem hard sometimes for us to hear from our God where it is that we're being called as this community of faith believers? Well, I think it's because we get aligned or focused on our own purposes, on our own will, on our own needs and desires, rather than that of our God. When we serve God's purposes, then we can hear. The good news is, here's the good news. Our God doesn't give up on us. No matter how many times we find ourselves off track and serving our own will and purposes, our God's grace is big enough to cover all of us and all of that. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, we can choose again and again and again to stop conforming to the world's standards and to start being transformed by our God. And what good news that is. So I would invite you to consider, where is it in your life that you find yourself conforming? Where is it in the life of the church that you see the world standards rather than Christ guiding the way? Where is it that you're holding back, not presenting your entire self daily to our God? Where is it that we find ourselves measuring by the world standards instead of by the standard of our Christ? But when we get it right, when we get it right, that's when we can and will and do experience discernment of the will of God, and we get to see the fruit of that. Not only are we transformed, sanctified through that grace, but we become those who transform our community. And the Holy Spirit works through us so that it brings the standards of Christ into the world, so that the world begins to look more like heaven and less like it does now. That's the beauty of discerning God's good and acceptable and perfect will for us, is that we see great, deep, and wide transformation. In September, I'm going to get to travel once again to Central America to drill a clean water well with Living Water International to help teach important hygiene practices in a community that may not have that education right now. And here's what I love about partnering with organizations like Living Water International, is that we get to see the fruit. We get to see the fruit of what it means to offer our entire selves, for our church body to offer our entire selves in worship of our God. Our prayers, in this case, for those who may not have clean water yet. Our presence, for those who will go and be present in fellowship with the community there. Our financial gifts that support the well itself. Our service as some of our church body goes and labors alongside the local people. And our witness as we tell them all what motivates us is the love of Christ. And if you know, last year, you may have heard this story. I was transformed by a newfound friendship with a lady named Amelia who lived in the community there. See, I learned that the transformation is a two-way street. If you don't know that story, ask me about it because I love to tell it. But what I am doing this year is going with even more intention about discerning God's will for our church, for the travelers who will go there with me, for the community who will meet when we get there, and for the work that we will do. And I anticipate with immense excitement the beauty of watching God's will unfold in our midst, and in our work, and of watching how myself and those who will travel from here with me and those whom we meet when we get there, how we are all transformed by our God's very, very good, acceptable, and perfect will. So I want to leave you with an invitation to dream a little bit. I want you to dream. What could our church do? What could we do if we offer our entire selves daily as holy and living sacrifices to our God? How might we see transformation here in McKinney and around the globe as we discern God's will for us? What might it look like here in our church if we were offering ourselves in this well-thought-out worship? Imagine the possibilities if we, you and me, live together fully into this good, acceptable, and perfect will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.